The Giants get lit up in Atlanta on Sunday, but on Saturday, Logan Webb continued to look like an ace, and overall, the Giants are playing well during one of their most difficult stretches of the season, and their magic number to clinch a postseason berth has dwindled down to just 17. So we'll talk all about that on today's Locked On Giants podcast.
Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. And coming up on today's show, it is our Monday tradition. We are going to be talking about three things we learned this weekend. Now, some of you may have noticed that there was no podcast on Thursday or Friday. I had a family situation that I needed to take care of. If ever you're looking for a podcast and there isn't one, I would encourage you to go check on Twitter, my Twitter account, at Ben Caspick, and I will definitely put something up there if there's not going to be a show. For whatever reason. So yeah, that's what happened. So really, it's three things we learned this weekend and in the last 4 or 5 days as a whole. There was a lot that happened. As usual, the Giants made a lot of roster moves, but I do want to focus mainly on the Atlanta series, which didn't go the Giants' way, right? They lost 2 out of 3. It was their first series loss, the first series they didn't win since the Pirates were in town in mid-July. So there's a couple things that are remarkable about that. Number one, that the Pirates have been a team that's given this Giants team that has basically rolled through everybody else all season. That Pirates team has given the Giants trouble, but also that they've just been on such a roll, even though August was a pretty tough part of the schedule. And the last couple weeks or week and a half or so, and then moving forward, continue to be very tough. So the Giants... That's kind of the main thing for me is, A, this magic number thing, which I teased at the beginning of the show, that their magic number to clinch a postseason berth is just 17. I haven't seen anybody else kind of pointing this out, but to me, that's kind of a big deal because that's a small number. The magic number to clinch the division is obviously much higher. The Giants only have a, 2.5-game lead in the division. There's just so much to say. Like at this point, I want to point out that the Dodgers just lost a series to the Colorado Rockies at home. The Dodgers were home. The Rockies' road record, even with that series win in LA, is 17-48. So it is a huge disappointment for that Dodgers team to lose a series at home against the Colorado Rockies while the Giants lost a series much more. Like, it's much more expected that the Giants would have trouble in Atlanta, a team that's playing great, the Giants being on the road. So it's much more forgivable and understandable that the Giants would lose that series. So, you know, some people may be disappointed with the outcome, of course, of the Giants losing that series. But in LA, trust me, they're a lot more frustrated on today's podcast and the fans there because they trail the Giants still by 2.5 games. And so when the Giants lose a series for the Dodgers not to be able to make up any ground, that's a big deal. So the Giants having just a 2.5-game lead in the division, that's obviously a much higher magic number. And that number is 30. Giants have 32 games left. And so they would have to win 30 of them if the Dodgers won every single one of their games. Obviously, that's not how it actually is going to happen. So for those of you unfamiliar, the magic number thing works as follows. It's a combination of Giants wins and Dodgers losses when you're talking about the magic number over that specific team or to win the West. in the wild card, it's a lot different. And I know the Giants are not currently in a wild card position, but the idea of saying they have a 17-game magic number to clinch a postseason berth is to say that even like if the Giants just go 17 and 15 in their last 32 games, it wouldn't matter what any other team does. The Giants would be in the playoffs as at least a wild card team. And actually, I pointed this out as well, that magic number applies to hosting the wild card game as well, because currently it's the Reds holding on to that second wild card position. If the Giants, you know, won 17 games down the stretch here, or Padres losses, it's a little bit confusing. What I'm saying is if the Giants won 17 games, let's say they just go 17 and 15, you don't even have to worry about what the other teams do. The best the Reds could do, even if the Giants just go 17 and 15, if the Reds go 30 and 0, because they only have 30 games left, that would mean that those two teams tied. And if the Reds and Giants tied, then the Giants would host that wildcard game if the game was between those two teams, on account of the Giants having the better record head-to-head against the Reds this season. So that is exciting because that's extremely achievable on its own, even without help from other teams. But of course, those other teams are also going to lose. So in reality, the Giants are in a great position. They currently have a 15.5 game lead over a playoff spot with 32 games remaining. So I don't want to say it's impossible, but it would take an epic kind of circumstance for the Giants to miss out on the postseason. But understandably, expectations or hopes have changed, and people want the Giants to win the division. Of course, I mean, they have a lead with about a month remaining. So coming up next, we'll continue to have this conversation, and we'll also talk about Logan Webb continuing to look like an ace in Atlanta, going 7 shutout innings. So we'll look at his numbers and compare them to some of the leaders in the league. And we'll also take a look at anything else that went down over the weekend, some roster moves, Chris Bryant nursing an injury. So all of that coming up next. But before we get into it, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. As promised, here in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about Logan Webb and the way that he continued to look like an ace. So he went 7 shutout innings in Atlanta against a really good Braves offense, which, as we saw on Sunday and on Friday, was capable of putting up big numbers of runs. And the Braves, you know, offense did about as well as any team has done against Giants pitching all season long in this series. So Logan Webb, as I said, 7 shutout innings, 5 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, lowered his season ERA to 2.65, which actually now comes in at 11th best in all of Major League Baseball among pitchers with at least 100 innings pitched. If we change that to just National League pitchers, as I wait for it to load here, Logan Webb is, where is he? I don't even see him. How did he disappear? That doesn't make any sense at all. Going back, that's weird. Logan Webb gets deleted when I change it to just National League pitchers. That is odd. But Kevin Gausman is 7th in all of Major League Baseball with a 2.49 ERA. and Logan Webb is 11th behind some big names. You know, this is a good list. You're not making this list without, you know, being among the game's best. So Logan Webb's fielding independent pitching now is just 3.04, which is also 11th best. And if you look at the names around him, the player directly ahead of Logan Webb is Clayton Kershaw with a 2.99 ERA. And the player, 2.99 fielding independent pitching. And the player directly behind Logan Webb is Walker Buehler with a 3.05 fielding independent pitching. So Logan Webb just slotting right in between those two in this number is extremely impressive. Now, in terms of expected fielding independent pitching, Logan Webb finds himself, if I can even find him, why is he disappearing from my lists? Oh, he's fourth. That's why I'm looking lower, and he's actually fourth in all of Major League Baseball in expected fielding independent pitching. Corbin Burnes, Zach Wheeler, Gerrit Cole, Logan Webb, Clayton Kershaw, Brandon Woodruff. Like, if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what does. Without even needing to really explain what expected fielding independent pitching is, because all you need to know is what those, you know, who those other names are: Burnes, Wheeler, Cole, Webb, Kershaw, Woodruff. And it's clear that that's a list that you want to be on. Those are some of the very best pitchers in the game. So the question for the Giants is Logan Webb the number one pitcher in this Giants rotation? And the way that he's pitched over his last 12 or 13 starts or so, he has a very strong case to make that he is the number one pitcher in this Giants rotation. Kevin Gausman continued to kind of have his inconsistent second half in his start in Atlanta on Friday. He ended up gutting it out and going six innings and allowing just two earned runs, didn't walk anybody. And the thing that kind of stands out to me as I look through his line here is that he only struck out two in those six innings. He aggravated his hip covering first base on a ground ball, kind of did the splits a little bit, and that hip has been bothering him since April. We talked about that injury way back in the beginning of the season, and it's something that's lingered for him, but he's been able to push through it. And honestly, I thought that he looked better after aggravating it. Like when he, you know, the trainers came out and he threw some warm-up pitches to test it out, and he said he was good to go and he stayed in the game. And I honestly thought that he looked better from that point on. And I believe he retired like the last 13 batters he faced or something like that. So to me, he's pitching with the fastball right now. He's not really able to dominate with that splitter the way he was able to do for the first half of the season and even last year as well. Right now, he's occasionally throwing a good one, but it's not the same type of reliable pitch that it was earlier on. And the pitch that's getting him through games right now is the fastball. We saw that in the game against the Astros. They got to him early, but then he kind of settled in with just the fastball. And then on Friday, he basically was pitching well with that fastball, and he was able to locate it pretty well. I thought even better after aggravating the hip, which is kind of odd, but that's what it looked like to me. And he's clearly healthy to an extent. I mean, the hip notwithstanding, but he's pumping 97 mile per hour fastballs in there. The arm is feeling pretty good, it would seem. So I remain pretty optimistic. I mean, somewhat optimistic, I guess I should say, about Kevin Gausman. And I'm happy that it's August 30th and not September 30th right now, because he still is going to have like seven more starts or so to work through these issues. And so with Logan Webb, the question is just going to be, can he keep it going? And if he can, he's legitimately looking like a frontline starter, which is so exciting because he's just 24 years old, is under club control for a long time. So he's not someone who can just walk away in free agency like Kevin Gausman is, like Anthony DeSclafani is, like Alex Wood is, like Johnny Cueto is. The whole rest of the rotation is set to reach free agency except for Logan Webb. So the fact that Webb is emerging as arguably their best starter right now, maybe it's not even arguable, but clearly their best starter right now, bodes very well for this team in the present and the future. And I keep saying that every single week, and it just keeps being true. So I'm going to keep saying it. So that was kind of what we learned. We also learned regarding the starting pitching, Anthony DeSclafani was able to come off the injured list with that right ankle discomfort on Sunday. And it started off well. He got the first like 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 9 batters that he faced out. But then in that fourth inning, he just kind of fell apart, allowed several consecutive hits to start the inning, including a couple of home runs. So he ends up just going 3+, allowing 6 hits, no walks, 4 strikeouts, but the 2 home runs. It raised his season ERA to 3.38, which is still fantastic. Sammy Long came in long relief, which I thought was kind of funny. He's kind of their long guy, Sammy Long. Austin Slater pitched a third of an inning, which I thought was the perfect time to do it. Giants were down 9-0. It brought some levity to the situation with the Giants getting blown out ahead of a long cross-country flight. When you're coming home, no off day, and you're going to face the Brewers and the Dodgers in this homestand. So I thought it was a great time to bring some levity to the team. They can just forget about that 9-0 game and turn the page to the Brewers, who are coming into town next. So coming up next, we're going to talk about the upcoming schedule and also tie up the loose ends here with any roster moves that got made, and also Chris Bryant having this nagging injury and what his status is. So we'll wrap it all up next. But first, as I said earlier, I want to talk about the delicious tasting Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. I say this every time, but we have a group chat with Locked On hosts, and the amount of time that we spend talking about these Built Bars, which we all love, it's unbelievable how much time we spend on it because we're so passionate about them. They've got something for everyone. When I look at this list of flavors, there really is. They've got cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, great flavor to try if you're a Giants fan, right? Salted caramel is one of my favorites. I just love that combination of flavors. But what's really important to me is that they're healthy too. We're talking a lot of protein, 17, 18 grams, and only 4 to 5 grams of sugar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the September 9th season opener between the Bucks and Cowboys, and if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, promo code LOCKEDON. All right, as promised, we're going to do our best to wrap everything up here as we talk about the third thing we learned this weekend, which is really going to be like the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth things we learned this weekend. This team is a lot of fun to cover because they're not stagnant. I mean, the roster moves that they make between the last time we did a podcast and now, they probably made about 10 roster moves. And so I'm just going to have to look through them and try to explain what happened. And also, more importantly, I think, it's not necessarily something that we learned, but the upcoming schedule for the Giants is something that we really should talk about because, it's quite a schedule. Like when you look at the quality of the opponents that the Giants are facing starting tonight with the Milwaukee Brewers. I made this point on Spotify Green Room last night, but the Giants are currently in the midst of playing the three best National League teams besides themselves. The Giants, of course, still number one in not just the National League, but all of baseball. .646 winning percentage. Just going to confirm that. Rays are close, but the Giants are still number one in all of baseball. The Rays have taken over that second spot, but that's irrelevant. The three next best teams in the National League are the Dodgers, Brewers, and Braves. And those are the three teams the Giants are playing consecutively here. And before that, I mean, the Mets are kind of reeling, and they're like a comedy show right now. I don't know if you've been following what's going on with them. We all heard them booing, the fans booing the players, and now the players are giving the thumbs down signal to like give it back to the fans, and it's just this whole drama, which is hilarious from the outside. But also the Giants played the A's, who have serious playoff aspirations. But currently, this is the toughest part. Braves, Brewers for four. This is a four-game series that starts tonight at home with the Brewers, and then the Dodgers is going to be the biggest series between these two teams in a long time. And then the Giants head to Colorado to play the Rockies, who have been so good at home, and that team is just tough to beat in Coors Field right now. The Rockies have a superlative record at home. Their home record is 43-22, which is challenging. That's the exact same record that the Dodgers have one more loss at home. It's the same record, except the Dodgers have played one more game and they lost it. So that just goes to show you how tough the Rockies have been at Coors Field. It's like playing the Dodgers in LA. That's how it's been so far this year, which is not to say it'll continue to be that way, but that's how it's been so far this year. So four games against the Brewers, following three against the Braves, with three after that against the Dodgers, and then three on the road at Coors Field. That is really tough. And then the Giants finally have a day off after all these consecutive games, and they head to Chicago. And as I've said, the Giants are kind of fortunate that they're playing the Cubs right now after they've traded away all their best players. There's no Bryant, of course, Rizzo, Kimbrel, Javier Baez. So that's a good time to face the Cubs. And then the Giants are home against the Padres and Braves, and then their last road trip of the year at San Diego, at Colorado, and then their last homestand of the year against the D-backs, which is nice, and then the Padres. So from afar, I don't know if you all have been paying attention, but the Padres have just been reeling, and they are now out of playoff position. They're 1.5 games behind the Reds for that second wildcard spot, and they're 15.5 games behind the Giants. So the upcoming schedule is what it is, and it's exciting because you're going to be facing, you know, playoff caliber teams, and it's going to be a good atmosphere. And I would encourage anyone who feels comfortable doing it to get out to the ballpark for these big games that are coming up. So as I look through my notes here, I want to talk about some of the roster moves. It looks like I didn't write down necessarily the roster moves, but let's just go from the most recent. The Giants designated Tyler Chatwood for assignment. That was to get Anthony DeSclafani back onto the roster. I'm not sure if they needed a 40-man spot, as DFAing Chatwood does open up a 40-man spot, but it certainly opened up a spot on the Major League roster. They also optioned Tyro Estrada back to Sacramento. And by the last time we talked, he wasn't even on the roster. So he was added to the roster and then taken off. Believed that he was added when Belt went on the bereavement list to attend the funeral of his grandmother, who passed away earlier at some point last week. And then Donovan Solano, we haven't even mentioned him. He is on the COVID-19 injured list. He tested positive despite being fully vaccinated. So Solano is quarantining in New York. He's still in New York, did not travel, obviously, to Atlanta with the team, and he is going to have to be on that quarantine protocol for several more days here. So that's obviously a tough break for Solano, and we will be monitoring his health and wishing him, of course, nothing but the best as he recovers from COVID-19. I've been out of the loop a little bit, as I said, so I haven't heard too much about his status, how he's feeling, but that's what I know. He's quarantining in New York. So they also recalled Chadwick Tromp. Buster Posey was dealing with that knee soreness. He came out of one of the game, I think the first game in Atlanta. Is that right? Again, out of the loop a little bit. I'll be back like fully on top of things moving forward. At some point, Posey had the knee issue, and he didn't play for a couple days, and Chadwick Tromp was added, but then he was optioned back, and Buster Posey started a couple of games straight in Atlanta. So I think the knee issue happened in New York for Posey. And Kurt Casale caught the finale on Sunday, so I would expect to see Buster Posey back in there to start this huge homestand tonight against the Brewers. So that's pretty much it for the major moves that got made. Kevin Gausman had been on the injured list. It says here 10-day injured list, but I thought it was COVID-19 injured list with vaccine side effects. It is crazy to follow this team and all the moves that they make. I'm not normally like confused about the moves that they make, but being, you know, traveling as I did on the road to Arizona and back over the weekend kept me out of the loop a little bit. But coming up tonight, it's going to be Corbin Burnes on the mound for the Brewers, one of the best pitchers in the league, if not number one right now, against Johnny Cueto. So a little bit of a mismatch in favor of the Brewers, frankly, in that first game. And then Alex Wood against Brandon Woodruff in the second game. That's also a little bit of a mismatch. Kevin Gausman against Brett Anderson favors the Giants on Wednesday. And Logan Webb against Lauer on Thursday. Eric Lauer, lefty. So I would say the first two games on paper favor the Brewers, and the second two games favor the Giants. So we'll see. It is a heavyweight matchup between these two teams with very serious playoff aspirations. They could totally meet in the playoffs. It would probably be in the NLCS if they did meet. So coming up tomorrow, we will talk all about tonight's huge game against the Brewers. Thank you so much for joining today's show and bearing with me as I get my feet back on the ground here and to get my finger back on the pulse of this very fun, very exciting San Francisco Giants team. As I said, magic number is 17. We'll be talking about that every single show from here on out as the Giants push towards making the postseason for the first time since 2016, trying to win the division for the first time since 2012, which was the last time any team that wasn't the Dodgers won the division. So going to be a lot of fun down the stretch here. Thanks again for listening. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out so much. So thank you in advance to everyone who's done so and to everyone who's going to do so. I don't know what I'm saying here. Thank you in advance and thank you to everyone who's done so already. This show is on YouTube. I keep forgetting to mention that. If you're listening to this podcast, you can watch this show on YouTube. Some of you are watching here and thank you so much. And if you're listening not on YouTube, I encourage you to please just check it out on YouTube. It's a lot of fun. So anyway, thanks again for listening. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. You are now Locked On Giants.